This is Srinivas Rao, the host of the Vistage podcast series. Today I'm speaking with Farnaz Wallace, who is a thought leader, author, speaker, and strategic consultant focused on helping leaders and companies capitalize on cultural macro trends and define their brand's value proposition and sustainable revenue models in today's fast-changing marketplace. Farnaz, thanks so much for taking the time to join us and share some of your insights with the Vistage listeners.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm going to ask you the very first question I have for you, and that is, what is the New World Marketplace?
Simply put, the New World Marketplace is where people and technology come together to define a we that is fundamentally different in terms of race, ethnicity, cultures, archetypes, gender roles, and youth mindset. And my message to your listeners is very simple. A rapid cultural shift has occurred over the last decade, but it's not being addressed by businesses and leaders. And, you know, it may be cliche to say that the world is changing. Of course, the world is always changing. It's part of evolution. Trends are always part of business evolution. But I believe it's the pace and complexity of these cultural shifts that has brought on the degree of change that is shaking up our society as we see it today. And I basically break down these rapid cultural shifts into three major macro trends and forces. Number one, the shifting roles of women at home and at work. Number two, the new values and ideological power of the youth culture. And I specifically zero in on the Gen Y, those that were born anywhere from 1980 to 2000. Just because as baby boomers retire, there is a whole workforce and consumers that are taking over that have completely different set of values and ideological power. And the third is the growth and influence of multicultural consumers and societies. And these three macro trends were once considered small niches. They're now major target markets that are somewhat redefining the new world marketplace, and businesses must communicate to them in order to stay relevant and successful.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things you said is that businesses aren't addressing a lot of these trends, and you also just said that they must communicate with them to remain successful. So let me ask you this. What can businesses do to address these issues and these trends?
I think for most part, you know, the number one is really understanding how the market is shifting and redefining your target customers. I'm going to share some stats with you that your listeners may not necessarily be aware of. But when we take a look at, for example, the first macro trend, which is the shifting roles of women, I mean, everyone knows 51% of the U.S. population are female, and 76% of unmarried mothers work, as well as 69% of married mothers work. But what they may not know is that for every two men graduating from college, three women graduate and with better GPAs. And most importantly, and most relevant to your listeners, almost 85% of all consumer buying decisions are made by women, which is most significant for all of the B2C companies. Now, this rate somewhat drops to a 60% for B2B companies, but it's still, if you think about it, you know, it's a majority of the buying decision, whether you have a B2C company or whether you have a B2B company. So, you know, a lot of times when I'm consulting for businesses, some of these stats are somewhat shocking for a lot of CEOs, and you know, business leaders are not redefining their target. If you take a look at the youth culture as an example, again, I'm focusing on Gen Y, those that were born somewhere between 1980 and 2000. And this is a population that's estimated at 72 million. And it's the most diverse, educated, tech-savvy, but more importantly, soon to be the largest American generation. This generation is three times the size of Gen X. And again, most people don't really realize how the market is shifting. If you take a look at the multicultural market, in addition to the youth culture that's very multicultural, you know, most folks don't even know that one out of four kids that are born right here in the U.S. has a parent who's an immigrant. And the Hispanics, Asians, and multiracial children accounted for all of the U.S. under 18 growth in the last decade. Now, this is most telling about the future of the marketplace. But if you take a look at just some of these stats and want to, you know, reprioritize your strategic planning for the next 3 to 5 years, it becomes very clear that businesses, A, will have to redefine who they want to target in order to stay relevant and successful in the near future and ongoing. And secondly, in terms of the overall strategy, they want to be first to the market. They want to be able to somewhat be a pioneer to go in and say, you know, strategically, I'm going to differentiate and redefine my target. And a lot of businesses are not aware because, you know, they firstly want to, you know, protect the status quo, and they keep defining general market. And what businesses are not aware of is how the general market is shifting and changing very, very fast. And it's really, it's all about leaders managing the velocity of this transformation, because it's happening a lot sooner than people think.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that makes a perfect transition. Let me ask you this. What are the implications for businesses and CEOs if they don't embrace these trends?
I think ultimately my projection has been about maybe 3 to 5 years, and I suspect that by that time they will start hitting a wall. And I say that because, you know, we have an average of 10,000 baby boomers retiring every day. By 2016, 25% of baby boomers retire. So whether you are employing the new world marketplace or you're targeting them for your business as consumers, my prediction is in the next 3 to 5 years, it will shift even more dramatically and companies will start hitting a wall, because eventually what we're seeing, you know, the global economy, you know, shifting at such a lightning speed. And what we're finding most companies do, and rightfully so, is cost-cutting. Well, you know, cost-cutting will get you maybe 1 or 2 years of survival, you know, in the long haul. If you don't try to lead from the front end versus leading from the back end, you ultimately will hit a wall very soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. What do companies need to do in today's economy to succeed?
Well, again, it kind of goes back to fully understanding and embracing the new world marketplace, understanding how the consumers and cultures are changing. You know, a lot of companies confuse strategy with, you know, operations effectiveness, best practices. Again, going back to cost-cutting, efficiencies, and ultimately you start seeing a lot of companies looking alike. And one of the things that I often talk about, you know, in terms of succeeding is differentiation. I mean, strategy is not about being the best. It's about being different. So this provides a huge opportunity for companies and CEOs out there to say, okay, how do I redefine my strategic positioning in the new world marketplace? How do I differentiate from all other competitors? Yes, products matter, service matter, but it's really about who are you going after, and can you really build that cultural and emotional connection with your fast-changing consumers and their beliefs and their values and their causes? How do you start learning how to align your company values with those of the changing customers in the new world marketplace? And, you know, that kind of starts redefining and reshaping strategic priorities and strategic directions for a lot of businesses. And surely there are incredible diversity and multicultural resources. There are some very, very good Gen Y experts. There are amazing feminist leaders, writers, and speakers. But there's clearly a hole in clearly defining the business imperatives, and I emphasize on the business and financial imperatives of embracing these three cultural macro trends in order to succeed in the near future.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you mentioned that I think is particularly interesting is you mentioned building a cultural and emotional connection to this new consumer. I'd love for you to expand on that and talk about some things that companies can really do and businesses can really do to build that connection.
Well, it kind of all, again, starts with understanding the beliefs, causes, and values. What I have found in my consulting business is that many companies may put on values such as trust, such as respect. You know, you hear those and see those on packaging and websites a lot, but they don't really understand how that translates into the emotional connection and how that translates into the everyday execution and culture of the organization. My recommendation to your listeners and most of the companies are, you know, pick and choose which target you want to go after, understand their values, causes, and beliefs, and try to align your brand strategy and the values of your companies around those of the chosen target. I'll give you an example. I mean, trust, respect, integrity, all of those are very universal values. You can fly on any Delta flight and you're going to hear the CEO talking about, you know, we believe in the integrity, we believe in trust, and we believe in respect. But, you know, I for one, scratch my head and say, well, how are you translating that in your communication strategy, both internally and externally? How are you communicating that to your consumer? Southwest Airlines may build trust by saying, you know what, we are on time on short haul flights all the time, rain or shine or snow, we are on time. They build trust with the consumer that way. And yet you see a lot of other companies using those values but don't exactly understand how to translate that into communication strategy. Because, you know, putting some words on your website or your packaging or your brochures is more than actually delivering that strategic differentiation to your consumer. And, you know, that whole concept of how do you translate your value proposition and design the value delivery system to support it and then communicate it is the framework that I use in helping companies and leaders choosing a differentiating value proposition.
Excellent. Well, Farnaz, can you tell our listeners where they can find out a little bit more about the work that you do?
I have a website, www.farnazglobal, that's F-A-R-N-A-Z global, G-L-O-B-A-L.com. The name of my company is Farnaz Global LLC. And I have a book out called The New World Marketplace. It's less than 170 pages. I have packed a lot of information in a very short book because I understand people's attention span, especially the CEO's attention span, is very, very small. So I've tried to pack as much relevant information in a small book. It's quick to read, and you can find out all the information that we've talked about in length in the book. And I actually have a section on strategy and how to communicate your strategic differentiation and aligning your cultural values with the new world marketplace. And I get very extensive in terms of defining the three cultural macro trends. And my recommendation is, you know, it's a quick read. Read the book. I have a website. You know, definitely you can contact me if you're interested in talking about it. But I think the first step is to really truly understand and embrace the shifts. One of the resistance that I find in a lot of business leaders is that they don't really recognize the pace and complexity of the cultural shifts, and they constantly are reverting back to cost cutting and the fear of economy. You know, there are a lot of companies these days in today's economy that are extremely successful. So we can't really sit back and blame the economy for company performance. We have to really look inside, reevaluate the target, you know, set up the strategic differentiation, understanding the values of the consumers and trying to align with them. And those are some quick steps that a lot of small to mid-sized companies can do. Of course, if you're a McDonald's or if you're a Delta or Coca-Cola, you can afford to hire all these specialized agencies that can help you target every single niche and every single consumer. But when you're a small to mid-sized company, you have to learn to leverage on commonalities and make the best use of your marketing dollars. And I think that's where my work and my book comes in handy.
Excellent. Well, Farnaz, thanks so much for taking the time to join us and share some of your insights with our listeners. This has been Srinivas Rao, the host of the Vistage podcast series. And until next time, good luck with your business.